Ed Raymer of the Evan Lee Raymer Show. We're with you here, and we are live here at WGNS, as usual, on Sunday night, 8 o'clock. Well, it's almost 8 o'clock. We'll be in 10 seconds, but that's okay. We're a little bit early tonight. My friend, my guest, is a good friend, and you all know him, and you love him. You like to aggravate him, and he's a good friend. He's a good man to aggravate. Stephen Reynolds. Stephen, how you doing?
Ed, I'm doing great. Thanks for having me tonight.
Thank you.
Merry Christmas.
No, Ed. Merry Christmas, and thank you. And Stephen, on the cost of my guest, I want you to keep it under $2,000 this year, okay?
Okay, buddy. You got it. No, Mercedes.
Well, you left it on the cardboard last year, and I guess thieves got it, but I mean, yeah. I appreciate the How are you doing?
Doing good, man. Good. Doing good. Feeling okay. Good. You know, yep. I had. It's been a rough year, Ed.
It's been. But we're here.
But we're here. Know? We're hey. Still going. We're feeling good and headed out to California on Thursday.
Now you are headed to see our mutual friend. Well, I don't know the young man, but I've never met him. Juwan Jennings is playing with the San Francisco 49ers.
That's right.
And they're going to play the Titans next Sunday.
Next Sunday.
And you have got sideline passes.
I do. Juwan has invited us out.
That's great.
We're going to get to have dinner with him after the game. I'm probably more excited about that afterwards. But you guys be looking for me if there's a chance for Juwan to score, it would probably be against the Titans. As bad as it's been this year.
I know. I know.
And,
yeah.
You know, if there wasn't a personal connection here, I wouldn't be obviously cheering for the kid that I know. It's hard to cheer against the Titans.
Well,
but
for a lot of us, he's out of with the Blackman.
Blackman High School.
You pull for your local people.
We all pull
for David Price. He'd come out of Blackman.
That's right. He was a fantastic pitcher
and made a pretty good clip of money. And, you know, and then all there's many. There's been
he
several
won, he
others.
He won the Cy Young, yeah, David Price say, did. Yeah, it. That, that's he's about as big as it
about
gets.
About as big as it gets, you know. Yeah. So, you know, and Juwan, I think what they called it out there, the residents, Third and Juwan?
Third and Juwan is what they call him out there. I told him he should open a sports bar up in California and in Nashville and call it Third and Juwan.
I'm telling you right now, the Super Bowl performance was unbelievable. And I said, that goes back to his days in high school there. That one or two plays, I remember that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And
hopefully he gets a chance
ball.
To go back. Oh, yeah. He was a quarterback in high school, made the transition without any fuss. Anyway, so really looking forward to that. So y'all watch for me on television, because if he scores, he's going to hand me the ball. We'll probably do a little dance and may even send you a secret signal, Ed. We can work on a secret signal there.
Oh, that's all right. Fine young man. I understand he may be coming back here when all is said and done.
Well,
and
he's a free agent at the end of this year. And so, you know, the Titans would be a great landing spot for Juwan Jennings. I would love to see him.
Yeah, they would.
Wearing the Titans blue. And you know, those things are, you know, these guys got to go whoever's going to pay them the most money, Ed. That's how
it's unfortunately it's the name of the game.
Well, it is in everything in this
it
world,
is.
You know. You're going to work for the guy that's going to give you the most money.
Right, yeah.
And so, you know, he may end up in Cleveland, you never know, or or Lord knows where. But anyway, we're really proud of him.
I got family still in Cleveland. I mean, they don't claim me, but they're there. You know.
That's right.
But I'll tell you what, we're going to get started. Connor's on the board, and we're going to get started. Stephen Reynolds is here. We're glad you're here, Stephen.
Thanks, Ed.
But for right now, my name is Edwin Raymer, and yes, I'm still a private investigator. Welcome aboard.
This is the Edwin Lee Raymer Show with your host, Ed Raymer, on your good neighbor station, News Radio, WGNS.
And that's a little rock and roll to kick you off for 8 o'clock on a Sunday night. And this is Edwin Lee Raymer Show, and I'm your host, Ed Raymer. The show's produced right here at the studios of WGNS, 1450 AM, 100.5, 101.9 FM, right here in the heart of the great volunteer state, Murfreesboro, Tennessee. Now, you can reach us tonight, and you know how to reach us. Many of you have contacted on Facebook already. You've sent me some notes and what have you. at 615-893-1450. 615-893-1450. You can also text us a number. Send us a text to that number, and Connor will get it, and he'll give it to me or Steven, and we'll read it over there. For some of you that may be too high or too shy to go on the air, or just you just don't want to go on the air, we understand. Steven Reynolds is with us tonight. You can listen to us via the internet, WGNSradio.com. You know that. You can listen to us on the old-fashioned radio, which is the device that's located in the dash of your car, kids. If you'll just press a few of those buttons, that thing works. And you watch us live via YouTube or Facebook Live, go to the Edwin Lee Raymer Show. And Connor, what do they pull up to Facebook? WGNS, does WGNS Radio have, what's their Facebook page?
Just News Radio WGNS.
News Radio WGNS. And you can pull us up there and watch us. And you can also download the WGNS app and take WGNS with you wherever you go. Listen whenever you wish, and take note of our special programs. Steven, you used to have a podcast here, which was a good thing, Man in the Middle.
I did, Ed. I enjoyed it. Ran for three seasons. Yeah. Had a great time doing it.
Yep.
It's difficult and, to come up with content, as you
Angela
know.
Angela Bingham just left here. Her and Angie Marie doing a great job, and their friend Taylor. Yep. They had a good show tonight. Had some young ladies on from our local schools here in Rutherford County. Jason Qualls giving good financial advice, and he's got good guests. He's got people that know what they're doing. There's still room in this world for people that are educated, believe it or not, that they do know their business, and I appreciate that. And Angie, Angela Bingham, always doing a good job with her show, Simplicity, at 6 o'clock every Sunday. She's just a fine person. They're doing some great things, feeding people. They're doing what this station was always set up to do, the very basics of taking care of our friends and neighbors here in Rutherford County. And they do that, Stephen, better than anybody.
Needed now more than ever.
More than ever. Mm-hmm. More than ever.
Yeah.
Stephen, I'm going to get right into this. We're going to give the first half of this election, first half of the little broadcast we're doing is about, we had an election Tuesday night. The Democrats lost again. And your comments.
Ed, you've asked me to come on and do an autopsy of the special election of District 7 here in Tennessee. And probably not going to make a lot of friends tonight, Ed. But I'm going to tell the truth.
That's all right. I'm not either.
You know, the special election actually drew almost as many voters as the last midterm in that election.
Right.
One of the things that a lot of people talk about is how it's a gerrymandered district.
And it is.
There's no doubt about it. Pretty much every other district in the state of Tennessee.
Yep.
So outside of Steve Cohen's seat in Memphis, pretty much every seat has gerrymandering. That's what happens when you lose the state legislature, especially for a decade, because the census comes out, you know, and these things are redrawn about every decade. And so, to the victor goes the spoils. It's always been this way. And so, you know, what happened Tuesday night, you had, a little bit of a swing, and a lot of people, a lot of Democrats, let me say this, they really motivated their base.
Sure.
And they got a lot of Democrat. They probably got close to the maximum amount of Democratic voters out that they could get. And by activating
that
base.
In that particular situation,
that's
maybe.
That's correct. Yeah, because I can tell you this. When they gerrymandered that district, they have probably run a scenario, a fake election, a mock election, a million times on AI by this point.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
And they know that if the Democrat performs to a certain level, likes the base, then they will need X amount of persuadables, is what they're called, Ed. And what we call them are the people in the middle. Sometimes they vote Republican, sometimes they vote Democrat. They typically vet the candidate.
And that, as I told you, is about 47% of our voters.
Well, of
self-identified.
That's right.
Yeah, they don't identify as Republican or Democrat. That's a big block.
That's right, and that's not surprising. But there's that group of persuadables in there. And so in order to swing a 22-point district, you either need less voters to turn out, or you need to capture some of the persuadables. And it's kind of funny because when I ran back in 2016, a similar message that I had back then was, I don't care how you identify as a Republican or an independent or a Democrat or even who else you're voting for.
Right.
I want your vote. I want your help. And so it's kind of funny because in this, the candidate, the nominee in this last election, she softened that stance, I noticed, towards the end and started repeating some of the similar things that I was saying in my election. Hey, you know, we need other folks that may have voted another way to swing on over.
We need help.
To help us put us over the top.
To lower the tough guy thing. You know, look, we need your help.
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah. And so it's that group of persuadables that you have to capture in order to win, in order to overcome a gerrymandered district, in order to, and you know, here's the thing about this race. It's a what I call a pop-up race.
Okay.
They did all of this in about 10 weeks. They popped up a campaign. They ran a primary. Then they're running a general. And so you had a pop. It typically levels the playing field in a lot of cases. A lot of people living in that district didn't even know an election was going on. Right? So you got to let them know.
Exactly. Oh, I can understand. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So you got to let them know. And they won't know until they turn on the TV and happen to see, oh, there's an election.
Yeah, that's
right. They just don't know. They don't keep up with it like you and I do.
Well, it's just such an odd time for an election. You just had one. You know, a year ago, and so now you're having another one. So it's a very condensed time frame, first off, and it typically levels the playing field a little bit because you don't have as many informed voters.
Sure.
And that's something else that I want to talk about too, Ed. A lot of times I hear folks, especially on the political side, they want to blame the voters.
I
just think that's just really a fool's errand.
Well, and you know, I'm gonna fess up. I did that on Facebook, and
well,
I blamed.
It's okay.
I blamed a lot of people for not getting off their butt and going to vote.
That's right, Ed. But you know,
and I'm not sorry for that, Stephen. Whether I'm right or wrong, I mean, I've voted in every election, and I'm not saying Eddie Raymer's the greatest guy in the world. I don't mean that.
Right.
You know that.
I do.
You and I've known each other for years now.
I do.
But you know. I have voted it. I think I've voted in every election I possibly could. If I was on vacation or there was a primary or something, maybe I didn't vote in the years gone by. But I'm 67 years old now. I know I look like I'm in my 30s, but I mean, wipe that smirk off your face, Connor. And no, seriously, but I have. I've voted in this. Me and you have been in this thing a while. I've been at it longer than you.
We have.
And it's important to me.
It is, Ed, and I get it. And it's a very easy thing to do is to blame the voters, right?
I know.
But here's
know.
The thing. Yeah. Here's the job of the candidate. And so I know that the Democrat nominee had over 600 volunteers, and they were doing all of these activities. I know the DNC was pouring more. They poured more millions into this race than any congressional race in the state of Tennessee, at least in the last decade. Okay?
They did, yes.
You had the former vice president down here campaigning for the Democrat nominee.
Right.
So they threw the book at it, right? They threw everything they had, and they still came up about 9-10 points short.
Exactly.
And so at that point, you know, you say, okay, well, maybe it's just the voters. But, you know, Ed, a lot of it lies with the candidate selection and the nominee selection. You've got to have a candidate that will convince people to get off the couch and go vote.
What is your message?
For you.
Your message?
That's right. And so there were what I think was three strikes on this nomination. And I'm sure, once again, this is by no means personal. I don't know. The Democrat nominee. I
had Afton up here. She's a fine young woman. She's
I'm
bright.
Sure she
she's
is.
Very intelligent.
I'm sure she believes in the things she believes in.
And she does. And I'd have her back again. I don't have a problem with it.
And so this is the thing, though, Ed. And these are kind of factors that I think that goes into that gravitas that's required to get those voters off the couch and to vote, or the persuadables to vote your way. And number one is, are you a resident of the district?
Right.
One of the, and this seems just so simple and simplistic. In the Constitution, the U.S. Constitution, for a member of the United States House, it doesn't require that you're, when you run, now once you're elected, you have to reside in the district, but it doesn't require, I could run for the seat in, you know, East Tennessee tomorrow.
I didn't know. Are you serious?
And if I won, I could move there and be the representative of those people.
You've got to move there once you've won.
That's correct. But you don't have to be a resident of that district when you initially apply as a candidate.
Okay.
Yeah, well, it's no requirement. And this is why the founding fathers figured that, hey, if someone from Knoxville wants to come run in a congressional race in West Tennessee, the voters there are probably going to vet that out.
And
we won't have to really worry about that because they're going to want one of their own representing them.
Right.
And that's really what it boils down to, Ed, is one of your own. It's very difficult. How can you honestly and earnestly look people in the face and say, I want to represent you, but I've never lived here. I don't know any farmers who live in your district. I've never been to a nursing home in your district. I don't know who the largest employer is in Wayne County. And so this is where we get this team mentality. It really doesn't matter. I can represent Democrats anywhere.
Yeah.
Just simply not the case, Ed. And
right.
so where the Democratic Party and the voters in the state of Tennessee has got to get it right is in the primary part of this, and they have got to ask a different set of questions in order to give their nominee a chance in the general election. And I'm saying that they missed a golden chance. It's not just me. It's Steve
That's
Kornacki.
Right.
You know, Steve Kornacki, one of the most wisest political minds in America today. A lot of people love to watch him.
Sure.
He summed it all up on a video on YouTube.
Has Connor got that pulled up?
Connor's got it up. It's about 8 minutes long if you want to listen to it. But
we want to listen to it. Let's go with it. And Stephen, you cut in if you're ready to, you know. Let's go ahead. Connor, would you go ahead and play that, please? Go ahead. Thank you.
Welcome back. Republicans are breathing a sigh of relief after holding on to a deep red congressional district in Tennessee. Republican Matt Van Epps defeated Democrat Afton Benn in a special election to replace Republican Congressman Mark Green, who resigned earlier this year. Van Epps, though, won by single digits in a district Donald Trump won by 22 points just a year ago, a potential warning sign for Republicans ahead of next year's midterms. But in his victory speech last night, Van Epps not only credited the president with helping him win, but vowed to stand behind the president while in Congress.
Victory was powered by supporters of President Trump turning out to vote. The president built the largest, most diverse coalition to ever elect a Republican, and we leaned in on that. President Trump was all in with us, and it made the difference. In Congress, I'll be all in with him.
NBC News chief data analyst Steve Kornacki has more from the big board.
All right, so a win for Republicans, Matt Van Epps in the 7th District special election in Tennessee. Democrats do keep this in single digits here. It's going to be a 9-point margin, basically, that Afton Benn, the Democrat, loses by. So the way I'm looking at this was simultaneously an overperformance for the Democrats and also an underperformance for the Democrats. What could I possibly mean by that? Well, the overperformance is obvious because this is a very Republican district. Typically, Donald Trump won it by 22 points last year. 22-point margin for Trump, as we say, came down to just 9 for Van Epps. So that is a net shift of 13 points in the Democrats' direction in this district. And it happened. This wasn't just really low turnout where there was an excited Democratic base that was kind of disproportionate. This was pretty high turnout in this special election. It was almost 180,000 votes that were cast here. That's more than we've seen in any other special election for the House this year, and that's on par with what you would typically see in a midterm. So for a special election, this was high turnout, and even with that, Democrats were able to do 13 net points better than they did in the presidential race last year. That's the Democratic overperformance. Why do I say underperformance too? Because they probably could have done better, and maybe with a different candidate, they could have even won this race. So here's what I mean by that. Afton Benn was a sort of a dream candidate for Republican ad makers because she had staked out some very far-left position. She had some very inflammatory rhetoric in the last 2 years, featured very prominently in media coverage of this race in the Republican campaign against her. And I think it was a tough sell in a lot of this district. So when you break down where the results came from last night, just zoom in right here. You see the one blue area in the district? That's Nashville, Davidson County. That's where Bain is from. She got massive turnout here, and she won by 56 points here. This is the kind of place where the positions she'd staked out in the past really weren't a liability at all. But again, you see the performance she had here, she needed also to make giant gains in places like Williamson County. These are the suburbs, kind of well-to-do suburbs just south of Nashville. Again, this is a very big part of this district in terms of population. And you see Van Epps winning here by 23 points. Compare that to how Williamson County went in the presidential election last year. It was 30. So this was much more modest here. A 30-point Trump win in the presidential election in this part of Williamson County came down, but it only came down by 7 points to a 23-point margin. This is the kind of place these suburbs in 2016 and 2020, you know, they'd been a little lukewarm towards Trump. I think there were voters in these suburbs. When you look at Trump right now with that sort of anemic approval rating, I think there's some voters in these suburbs who might not who might be open to voting for Democrats, but they weren't open to voting for Bain. She did not get much traction here. If she'd had double-digit improvement in Williamson County, this race would have been closer district-wide, for that matter, up here in Montgomery County. This is where Clarksville is. This is, if there's a swing county in the district, it's this. And again here, you know, Bain loses it by 8 points. This is one Democrats thought, if they're going to win this district, they thought they could win Montgomery County. Swing voters here, a lot of them, just weren't going to vote for Bain. So again, overall, Democrats get a very good headline out of this race. They get
now, Ed.
There it is.
There it is, right there. Probably one of the brightest political minds.
I'd say he is. He wants. That's all he does.
And it's not just Steve Reynolds. You know.
No, it's not.
It's not a message against progressives. Okay, so that's the other thing. The progressive candidate, you know. Hey, I believe in affordable, reliable health care for every American.
I believe
in public schools. I believe in infrastructure, public safety, all of those things. But here's rule number two. Okay, so we've covered rule number one, which is you should be local. If you're running for to represent 700,000 people, you should know those people. You should know the largest employer in Wayne County, if that's in your district.
Right.
So the whole story on Van Epps, right? He's an outsider. We're no stranger to carpetbagging Republicans.
Not at all.
Probably about to have a Republican carpetbagging governor from Mississippi before it's all said and done. But here's the thing with Van Epps.
Yeah.
He's a veteran. That resonates through all the counties.
Yeah, that's part of it, too.
It resonates in Clarksville, home of the
especially home
of the 101st Airborne.
That's right.
And so that kind of gives him a little bit more of an understanding, or at least a universal gravitas. Mm. People can understand that rather than, who is this person from Knoxville that is coming into my county?
A lot of traction there.
That's right. So, rule number one is, if you're going to run to represent 700,000 people, you should be from that district. So I think that's something that the Democratic voters in the primaries really need to understand of who they're putting up there. Is that person electable in a general election?
Agreed.
That should be question number one. And if you're ready for a break, Ed, or we can move on.
We're going to go to a break right now. We're going to go to our first break. Steven Reynolds is our guest. Connor's on the board. Ed Raymer for the Evan Lee Raymer Show. Stay with us. We'll be back with you right after this. Hello, everyone. It's Ed with Private Investigations in Middle Tennessee. You know, if you just need someone checked out on a background check, tag them a run, or if you need someone full-fledged follow, give us a call. You can reach me at 615-390-7219. That's 615-390-7219. Or check out our website at piofmt.com. That's piofmt.com.
I felt so alone, scared, angry, full of self-pity. I just wanted to die, so I took another drink. Then I heard about AA and went to my first meeting. The people there talked about those same feelings. I was no longer alone. They gave me help to stop drinking and hope to start living. Alcoholics Anonymous, it works. Look us up. Check your phone book, newspaper, or AA.org.
And I want to tell you about a great friend of ours, Jay Mullins Jewelers. You know, they've been in this county for going on 100 years now. And their new location is 1640 Memorial Boulevard, right here in Murfreesboro. Jewelry for any and all occasions, weddings, birthdays, of course, all holidays, Christmas and everything, getting real busy around the Christmas holidays. Check them out at 1640 Memorial Boulevard, right here in Murfreesboro. You know, Jay Mullins Jewelers. Can't beat it.
Hello, everyone. It's Ed with Private Investigations in Middle Tennessee. You know, if you just need someone checked out on a background check, tag them a run, or if you need someone full-fledged follow, give us a call. You can reach me at 615-390-7219. That's 615-390-7219. Or check out our website at piofmt.com. That's piofmt.com.
I felt so alone, scared, angry, full of self-pity. I just wanted to die, so I took another drink. Then I heard about AA and went to my first meeting. The people there talked about those same feelings. I was no longer alone. They gave me help to stop drinking and hope to start living. Alcoholics Anonymous, it works. Look us up. Check your phone book, newspaper, or AA.org.
And I want to tell you about a great friend of ours, Jay Mullins Jewelers. You know, they've been in this county for going on 100 years now. And their new location is 1640 Memorial Boulevard, right here in Murfreesboro. Jewelry for any and all occasions, weddings, birthdays, of course, all holidays, Christmas and everything, getting real busy around the Christmas holidays. Check them out at 1640 Memorial Boulevard, right here in Murfreesboro. You know, Jay Mullins Jewelers. Can't beat it.
I don't know how love could do this to me. I've waited and waited for some. But I'm so sentimental, and I'm so hopeful you'll be here. So here I am, every year, every Christmas. Yeah. I've wished.
If there was a better voice anywhere, let me know who it was, because he was, man, I'll tell you what.
Smooth.
Oh, boy. He tugs at my heart. That one every time, I'm telling you. Our son loved him, too. But he had a voice that was unbelievable.
Oh, yeah.
So bad that he's no longer with us, but just a terrible, terrible thing. But,
whew, oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'll play that. And some of the ladies out there say, oh, you play my favorite song. So I'll get some hugs and maybe a kiss or two on the cheek this week.
Under the mistletoe, Ed. It's that time.
No,
it's
I'll stay away from the mistletoe. No, I'm a little too over that.
Tis the season.
Okay. Yeah. We talked. Steve Kornacki had the last word before we went. Tell me what you think.
Well, so, Ed, being familiar with the district that you're running to represent, I think, is imperative, right?
Sure.
So that's kind of strike number one.
Sure.
Strike number two, when you're a political candidate, it's my belief that you want to make as small of a target as possible for the other guys to shoot at.
Sure.
And unfortunately, these guys had material. They didn't have to make anything up. There was plenty of material. I heard people that don't live in the 7th District talking about these TV commercials that were running.
Sure. Right.
And, you know, we talked about the abbreviated time that it takes to run a special election like this.
Right.
Imagine
yes,
if those
sir.
Commercials had stretched on out for 90 more days.
Right.
It's what I call soak time, Ed. It takes time for a message to soak in to the general public. These political professionals understand that. That's why you see a commercial running all over. And, you know, everyone in my office was talking about being a very radical person.
I know. It was just over and over and over again. Right.
The point is that we're going to need a Boy Scout, basically an Eagle Scout, to make a small target, okay?
True.
And so the more that you put out there, and it kind of ties into number three, but she gave the political machines all the material that they needed prior to ever announcing for this seat. And so that's something else that I wish the Democratic primary voters would take into consideration before they cast their vote. Is this candidate? Now, there's a lot of Democrats that love it. Oh, she's giving them a hard time.
I know. Yeah,
someone needs to jump up and say this stuff. Well, guess what? That all of that may be true, and it may be appealing, but it doesn't win elections.
Politics is a business.
And that's correct.
And unfortunately, it's become a business.
Well, these now candidates are manufactured.
Yeah, I mean, and locally, when you've got candidates that are spending $25,000, $30,000 just to get a city council seat.
That's right.
And we've got some that are.
That's right.
You're talking serious money. Now, if you're talking about a candidate as a small target, there was none better here recently. When I say recent, I'm talking the last 25 years, than Barack Obama.
Yeah,
when he ran for president,
because
he hadn't had that much time, and they didn't have that much
those
on
many
him,
sound bites,
so to speak.
That's right.
And he
that's
hadn't
right.
made any stupid goofs.
That's
you know,
right.
Look at me, I'm king of the world, and stuff like that.
Well,
you know
he still had zero investigations into his administration.
Yeah. And they didn't have any, I mean, there wasn't anything to get on the guy.
Yeah, right.
You know.
So
it
is important to vet your candidate and your potential nominee that way. And to, sure, someone may fire up the crowd and say something into the microphone that you wish everyone would say. But you always have to remember that the bigger you make yourself as a target, the more shots they're going to take. And they're really going to drive that point home. Unfortunately, that's what happened in this election. They had plenty of material to work with.
Yeah.
And so that's strike number two.
Okay.
Strike number three is one of the biggest problems that that I wish that folks would overcome, especially when choosing their nominee, is to, and we have this in general in society today, Ed.
Sure.
People conflate the digital world with the real world.
I know it. Yeah, you're exactly right.
And so just because it plays well on X or Facebook or whatever you want to call it, social media du jour, doesn't mean that it's going to play in Dixon County.
That's right.
Or in Clarksville. And so this is why this kind of relates back to number one, rule number one of being a local, of being, you know, at least spend 5 years in your district before you run for Congress. You know, imagine if I moved to Miami and six months later, Steve Reynolds wants to run for Congress to represent the city of Miami.
Yeah.
That would be insane, right?
Sure. Yeah.
So, or to even think that you had a chance to win.
Sure. Sure.
So, you know, people do want people that are local. And then obviously we have a problem with society in general. Did you see 60 Minutes tonight, Ed?
I saw the AI part, but I have not seen it, you know, but it's unbelievable.
It's unbelievable that AI is convincing teenage women to commit suicide.
That's crazy.
That's on 60 Minutes tonight.
Is this the one where they? I saw so many. Is this the one where the woman, the young girl, was created?
No, a 13-year-old girl was talking to AI on an app, and it went south quick, and didn't have a relationship with other human beings. Isolated herself. Wow. You guys should check out the story. It's very sad.
I'll watch it when I get home.
Yeah. We have a degree of that with adults now that are conflating, I've got 4 million likes on Facebook.
Yeah, but that...
But it only translates to two votes in the race, okay?
That's exactly right.
And so we have a lot of misinformed people conflating the digital presence with the real life presence. And so we really need to think about that as well. Do we really want TikTok stars running for Congress?
That's exactly right. Yeah.
And
yeah.
So, you know, just because, and, you know, I know that politics have been exciting for a long time, but I want politics to be boring again.
I agree, yeah.
I want to talk about real policy issues. The nominee for the 7th for the Democrats was very great on messaging, you know, the messaging. Sure. Affordability. People talk about affordability right
now.
Exactly
right.
It's a big word.
Yeah. Groceries. Okay. So all that.
Everyone out there, Republican, Democrat, do me a favor. The next time someone says affordability, a candidate says affordability to you, ask them specifically what they would do in Congress to make things more affordable. Because that's really an interesting policy dive there of where they go with that. Okay. The other thing, she had a great message, fix the roads. That's real simple. We can all agree with that one.
But there's so much that goes into that anymore.
Oh, there's such a complex policy and funding mechanism for the roads. And so it's real simple to say fix the roads.
I understand.
It's something totally different to actually do it.
Yeah, we'll go out and talk to Greg Brooks, who's you know, the head of the road department.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure you – I don't know if you ever met Greg
or not.
But he's a wonderful
great guy.
Yeah. I mean, a little more to it than just, you know, getting your tractor and blade and –
and the funding, Ed, how it works legally, how the
taxes
are collected, how all of that. So, and then, of course, once again, saving the rural hospitals. I think everyone can be on board with that and affordable health care. But really, when you start scratching the surface for these primary candidates, what you really need to ask yourself is there any there? I can program a robot to convey a message.
Yeah.
But once you get past that message, is there any substance and depth below that? And
I really wish
that they would ask themselves that question before they pull that lever.
Stephen, I'm kind of wondering when we're going to get our first AI candidate.
Oh, yeah, it won't be long.
Okay, we got a caller on the line. Caller, go ahead. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Mr. Randall, how y'all doing this evening?
Hey, Jeff.
I've got your favorite guest here, Jeff.
I know. Stephen, how you going to like getting picked to Nissan Stadium? You got your airplane started?
I do. I hope.
30-minute flight. You had 30-minute flight started? Is that 45 minutes? Is that 2 hours with traffic on 24? You might be able to get there with
Well, I hope so. Yeah, I hope I don't have to. And the recently the traffic at the airport has been a disaster.
Oh, yeah.
You can get on a bus to fly you there in Musk Airlines.
I might be able to drive to California faster than I can fly, Jeff.
You can dig out home.
Hey, you know, Jeff, I'm glad you called because we do have some bright news here in Rutherford County. Oakland boys last night won the state championship. And kudos to those kids. A great job. That's a pretty big deal.
They won it again. There's no doubt. They've got a great football program over there and beat Ravenwood and did a good job.
It seems like I heard on the news they've won, what, 8 or 9 now?
They've won nine as a program.
Okay.
Now, Jeff, here's what doesn't make any sense to me. Why does Oakland and Ravenwood have to drive to Chattanooga to play each other? Yeah, I understand. But, I mean, we could have just kept that money.
You see, Stephen, Middle Tennessee and Murray State, they played in the Cayman, Grand Dame, and Bahamas in basketball. So that was a tournament. So you think they should go over there? We'll just go to Murray, Kentucky playing.
Yeah.
But we don't need to go to the Bahamas. We'd rather be warm and be cold. So,
Speaking of Kentucky, Jeff, how are you with that new Kentucky basketball coach? How's that settling?
He's doing fine. He's got one more ring in Barnes. Rick Barnes ain't never been to a Final Four. He thought he had one basketball.
That's right.
But see, you should say, ain't no problem, babe. Rick Barnes last anyway. Ain't no problem. We'd beat him. It's like Illinois 75, Tennessee 62 last night.
Boy, I tell you what.
And you might find when the Music City Bowl, you're going to play Illinois again. So you might find out Brett Bidler might beat you again. Like he did with Beamer last year.
No, you're exactly right. Jeff.
When I heard at that Vanderbilt game, Stephen, Hype was on the hot seat.
I don't believe that.
You don't lose to Vanderbilt at home by 21. You don't lose three home games.
Yeah, I don't think Coach Josh Heupel's going anywhere now. Maybe the
defense.
No.
I'm telling you,
the fans and the media, he's on the hot seat. I'm telling you.
You,
so, well, that's true too. But he's always on the hot seat with that. He knows that.
8-4 He went to the playoffs last year. I mean, he lost 3 home games. Like you know what a guy called up their show. He said, if you're a Tennessee football coach, which I don't think is true, he said you never should lose to Vanderbilt and Kentucky. If you lose to them two, it's a fireable offense.
Well, times have changed. The transfer portal has changed everything.
It has. Money has changed everything.
That's right. A lot more parity now. And, Jeff, if you remember, we're about 3 feet wide left of beating Georgia in regular time.
And we'd be down the middle.
We'd be in the playoffs if that kick goes through. We're sitting here talking about Tennessee's first-round playoff opponent.
Yeah, but that's like Bobby Bowden in Miami. Wide left, wide right, three. What you going to do?
Jeff, listen, I'm going to have to let you.
I wanted to tell Stephen, though. Stephen, were you surprised by, because I know it's the margin tonight of the Bay Link was 53 to 46. I thought Bain did a pretty good job running a good race. I know she lost, and I know people around here are pretty disappointed. And like Ed and me have said, the Democrats didn't turn out.
Well, that may be the case, Jeff, and that's sad. I think you probably got the maximum amount of Democrats out, if I had to guess. So you had to really get on the persuadables. It's hard to say. It's been a long time since $2.5 million have been poured into a congressional race in Tennessee for the Democrats.
That's true.
So
they didn't put that kind of money in behind you.
No, or anybody else.
That's right.
A long time when Donald Trump had to do 2 or 3 telecalls with Johnson and the rest of these people to get them in.
So, yeah, that's right.
He had to do a little bit of work, but now, like I said, Stephen, enjoy the New City Bowl trip, and like I said, and I don't know what y'all do in basketball, but y'all just enjoy hobbies. Like I said, the fans are all over at that Vanderbilt. I mean, you know you can't lose to Vanderbilt. You know that, Stephen.
This is true.
You ought to know better. You've been a Vanderbilt fan for Tennessee fan forever. So you ought to know better than that. But, I mean, y'all, you enjoy that New York City bowl trip. See, talking to y'all, okay. Y'all enjoy having a holiday. And my favorite song from Bob Rivers, Walking Around Women's Underwear.
I'm going to do it for you next week. I promise I'll pull it up. Thank you, Jeff.
See you, Jeff.
Jeff Neal, good supporter of this broadcast and a supporter of WGNS. We're going to go to our last break, and we're going to be back with Stephen Reynolds. We're going to talk about water or the lack thereof of it when we get back. Hello, everyone. It's Ed with Private Investigations in Middle Tennessee. You know, if you just need someone checked out on a background check, tag them a run, or if you need someone full-fledged followed, give us a call. You can reach me at 615-390-7219. That's 615-390-7219. Or check out our website at piofmt.com. That's piofmt.com.
I felt so alone, scared, angry, full of self-pity. I just wanted to die, so I took another drink. Then I heard about AA and went to my first meeting. The people there talked about those same feelings. I was no longer alone. They gave me help to stop drinking and hope to start living. Alcoholics Anonymous, it works. Look us up. Check your phone book, newspaper, or AA.org.
And I want to tell you about a great friend of ours, Jay Mullins Jewelers. You know, they've been in this county for going on 100 years now. And their new location is 1640 Memorial Boulevard, right here in Murfreesboro. Jewelry for any and all occasions, weddings, birthdays, of course, all holidays, Christmas and everything, getting real busy around the Christmas holidays. Check them out at 1640 Memorial Boulevard, right here in Murfreesboro. You know, Jay Mullins Jewelers. Can't beat it. Hello, everyone. It's Ed with Private Investigations in Middle Tennessee. You know, if you just need someone checked out on a background check, tag them a run, or if you need someone full-fledged followed, give us a call. You can reach me at 615-390-7219. That's 615-390-7219. Or check out our website at piofmt.com. That's piofmt.com.
I felt so alone, scared, angry, full of self-pity. I just wanted to die, so I took another drink. Then I heard about AA and went to my first meeting. The people there talked about those same feelings. I was no longer alone. They gave me help to stop drinking and hope to start living. Alcoholics Anonymous, it works. Look us up. Check your phone book, newspaper, or AA.org.
And I want to tell you about a great friend of ours, Jay Mullins Jewelers. You know, they've been in this county for going on 100 years now. And their new location is 1640 Memorial Boulevard, right here in Murfreesboro. Jewelry for any and all occasions, weddings, birthdays, of course, all holidays, Christmas and everything, getting real busy around the Christmas holidays. Check them out at 1640 Memorial Boulevard, right here in Murfreesboro. You know, Jay Mullins Jewelers. Can't beat it. Okay, and we are back. Stephen Reynolds, our last 10 or 12 minutes here. Let's talk about water and talk about Columbia and Murray County.
Yeah. It,
what is going on
really
down there?
Really important stuff.
Let me tell you something. You mentioned this on the phone. I said, what are you talking about water? What are you talking about? I had no idea.
Yeah, so all of this came up way back 10 years ago, 2016, when I was running Murray County. It was
exactly.
Part of the 4th District,
okay.
Marshall County. All of that was part of the district, and we started talking about that. I became much more aware of the situation a decade ago.
Marshall County is Lewisburg, of course. That's
right. Lewisburg, Chapel Hill, fast-growing area as well. What it is the Duck River is what feeds those communities. I grew up in Coffee County around Manchester, Tennessee.
Sure.
That's the headwaters of the Duck. Now, here in Rutherford County, we have the Stones River. And we have the Percy Priest Dam, which created the Percy Priest Reservoir,
sure.
TVA.
Yep. Right.
So that's the reason why we don't necessarily have a water shortage problem today in Rutherford County.
May I ask you, when was Percy Priest built? Was it 60s?
It was probably late 60s,
late
early 70s.
Okay. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I just wondered.
I know when Normandy was built on the
okay.
Duck, which there were three phases to the Duck River that TVA had planned for. Normandy down in Bedford and Coffee County was the first one. A lot of folks are familiar with Normandy Lake.
Sure.
As a matter of fact, my mother's childhood home is underwater. It's like the brother.
Exactly.
It's like the movie, Oh,
yeah.
Brother, Where Art Thou? If
yeah.
you've ever seen that.
But a lot of people like to go down there. It's just boating and fishing.
Oh, they fish.
And, they love it.
And more importantly, yeah. there's water for people to drink and
exactly
for people
right.
to, you know, use the toilet, Ed. You
That's
have
right.
to have water.
Yeah.
To Got use
out.
The toilet. That's right. Industrial use, all of those things. So our neighbors to the west in Murray County, southern Williamson County, they're all downstream from Normandy, okay?
Sure.
And what has happened, you've had such an explosive amount of growth in those communities, not to mention General Motors, we know, has a big
exactly.
plant there.
Sure.
But you have a lot of people. It's a true bedroom community, I tell people.
Oh, it is. I've worked down there. It's and just good folks.
That's right. Yeah. And it's not an it's on a scale. Rutherford County, what's happening here is exponentially larger.
Sure,
okay?
sure.
But in Rutherford County, you have a lot of industry, a lot of people moving in, a lot of commerce. Over
right.
there, it's a lot of houses.
Sure.
Okay. A lot of just bedroom community and some of the commercial businesses that follow.
We have a number of people, I don't know, that work here, but they live in Columbia.
Oh, yeah.
They make the drive every day.
And drive over here to Rutherford
sure.
County to work.
Yeah.
Right. Or to Nashville.
Right.
Anyway, long story short, the Duck River, which is actually one of the most biodiverse rivers in North America, actually in this hemisphere, and TVA had a plan to create another reservoir in the 70s that would have been outside of Columbia. They bought up all of the land. They got 90% complete with the dam, a hydro dam, clean energy, back in the 70s. They were going to build a hydro dam there. And then a species known as the snail darter popped up on a study that it was going to destroy the snail darter, that this reservoir would destroy the snail darter's habitat. on this most biodiverse river in North America, which is the Duck River. Okay.
Okay.
So they spent.
See where we're headed here.
They spent $400 million building 90% of the dam. Then they spent another $400 million tearing it all down over the snail darter. Okay.
Wow.
Now, since then, over the last 40 years, it's become known that this species of snail exists in other places here in Middle Tennessee. It wasn't just on the Duck River. And so that entire exercise that happened in the 70s really was for nothing. That snail darter wouldn't have gone extinct. There were other places. But in the meantime, this area has grown exponentially, not on the scale of Rutherford County, but on a very large scale, probably doubled in population over the last 30 years in Murray County and southern Williamson County, Marshall County. And they're out of water, Ed. The Duck River, once it passes through the reservoir Normandy and the dam and flows downstream, they have pretty much drained it dry.
You said they're out. Yeah, you said it wasn't.
It really depends on what the conditions are. If you get in a drought, you could basically jump across the Duck River, you know.
Wow.
This is not anything that's unfamiliar. I'm very familiar with the Chattahoochee River in Georgia and the Apalachicola Bay. Atlanta expanded tremendously through the 70s and the 80s and the 90s.
Sure.
And essentially changed the salinity of the Apalachicola Bay, which is famous for its oysters.
Sure.
And some of the best oysters in the world. And so because Atlanta was drinking up all the water, enough fresh water wasn't getting into the bay, changed the salinity of the bay, and now all the oysters in Apalachicola Bay are bad. Mm. And you actually have a federal lawsuit where Florida has Georgia and Alabama sued and has actually won that case. But I don't know. Once the genie's out of the bottle,
exactly. Yeah.
You know, how do you get all those people in Atlanta to stop drinking all that water?
Sure. Yeah, it's not going to happen.
So, kind of the same thing here. The genie's kind of out of the bottle. They and so recently, let me just tell you how this impacts us here in Middle Tennessee. City of Spring Hill right now has a building moratorium. They will not issue a building permit at least for minimum of the next 10 months. That's because they can't draw any more water off the Duck.
Unbelievable.
And so that means that if you owned a piece of property, Ed, and you wanted to go build your house on that piece of property, well, you just too bad. You're out of luck until this moratorium passes. Same thing for Murray County. Probably the city of Columbia to follow soon. Maybe even Bedford County. Bedford County draws off the Duck. It's a little bit further upstream from the dam, though. So as you get on down to West Tennessee, where the Duck drops into the Tennessee River, it's nothing but a stream and you know, a small ditch in some of those places there.
Wow.
So the governor of Tennessee, Bill Lee, designated the Duck River as a protected waterway in Tennessee and formed a commission to study how to overcome this problem. And so one of the ideas is to build a massive $3 billion pipeline from the Tennessee River and dump that raw water at some point into the Duck River.
Okay.
Now, it's kind of weird, Ed, because you'll see how this kind of coincides with this idea of dismantling TVA.
Sure.
The fact is even the governor of the state of Tennessee has no jurisdiction over that water.
Right.
We gave that jurisdiction away when we allowed TVA to move in here in the 30s.
TVA still in charge.
They control the jurisdiction. They decide how much you can take from that water and how much you can treated water you can place back. So it's kind of funny to kind of do an end around TVA. All of that would end up in a lawsuit, I'm sure, if they did decide to spend this $3 billion to pipeline to the Tennessee River. But here's the thing. The Tennessee River is the second most microplastic polluted river in the world.
Yeah.
Has enormous quantities of PFSAs, which are the forever chemicals.
Right.
And so the whole idea that a dam would cause more ecological damage than a pipeline of pumping this heavily polluted water into the Duck River.
That doesn't gel.
It doesn't. I haven't seen any science or data that would make me say, oh, yeah, this is the way that we should go. So the governor's committee that's formed to study this came out with their recommendations earlier last week. And it's very curious what basically they had a bunch of different recommendations. One of them was water storage. During the off season, so that in case you ran into emergencies, all sorts of conservation efforts.
But again, Stephen, back, does TVA control this?
That's correct.
Why don't TVA you just go to TVA and say, what can we do?
TVA says you can't do anything. You've got to apply. You can take more people offline. Either way, we're going to make sure that the flow of the Duck River is X.
Right.
And so
they can authorize a dam, the building of a dam there.
Well, that would literally take an act of Congress.
Okay.
Because you would have to, you know, old fashioned, Ed, you would have to get the money appropriated.
Sure.
You're looking at probably $4 or $5 billion today.
And you said it may take as long as 8 or 10 years to do
this. I think
it'd
take 8 or 10 years to get the funding through Congress, right, get the dam actually built. But you could build a hydro dam there with clean energy.
But hadn't they better get started?
They had. And so there's a race shaping up over in the midterms that's going to be really interesting for me to watch over there, and the positions on the water in that area. This is the reason why I'm talking about this for Rutherford County, though. If people can't move to Williamson County or Murray County or Marshall County, where are they probably going to come?
You know where they're coming.
Yep.
That's exactly right.
So it's
going to indirectly affect Rutherford and even Williamson to some point. But now Williamson's had their problems on the water situation too.
Yeah, so they're
because their growth is phenomenal.
Correct, and they're on the Harpeth. And I think the last time I saw the state E. coli rating, the E. coli rating on the Harpeth was 6,000 times the state allowable levels. 6,000 times. Man. And of course, you know, it's hilarious to see people out there kayaking. It's not hilarious. It's actually really sad.
I know.
People can't actually recreate on the rivers because they're so heavily polluted. It's actually really sad.
I don't want to get in the water.
Yeah.
No, I don't. If you're in a boat or something, that's fine, but I don't want to.
I think that everyone of all political persuasions can agree on clean water.
You got to have water. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the first thing science looks for at a planet. Did they ever have water? Because it's the basis of all life.
That's right. That's right.
Of course, air and water.
And
but,
I encourage you and everyone else to look into this.
I thank you for bringing it to my attention. I had no idea. Ladies and gentlemen, I had no idea until you brought this to my attention. If you have in the past, I've certainly forgotten about it or just ignored it. This is serious stuff.
Well, when you can't build a building or start a business build a home, or when you're worried about the quality of the drinking water your children are drinking now due to how heavily treated it has to be because of the contaminants that are in the water, something else we have to worry about here in Rutherford County, right, is the contaminants that are in the water.
Right.
And I think that it really doesn't matter what political persuasion you are, we can all agree on clean water.
I think we all can. Stephen, I'm going to say you have a good Christmas. You're going to be in California. You're going to be in San Francisco next week.
Yep, that's right.
We're going to watch for you on television.
Yeah, awesome.
Sunday evening.
Yeah.
And I hope you get your football, and I hope Juwan does good.
Yeah, me too, buddy. Me too. Yeah.
Stephen Rills has been our guest. Connor's been on the board. We thank you for listening in. We appreciate you. Thank you, Jeff, for your call. Appreciate all of you always, and I'll bump into you this week. I know I'll be hearing from you. Thank you always for your support. Until next week at 8 o'clock, this is Ed Raymer for the Evan Lee Raymer Show, and I'll catch you down the road. Good night, everybody.